which means that any type of miracle, any type of open door sign or wonder that you have ever been able to point your finger at in your life, it can be traced back to the power of prayer. And I want to let you know, you graduating college wasn't because you were so beautiful and so wonderful and so smart, but it was because somebody prayed for you. Somebody in this room today who had a level of education that their parents and their grandparents never was able to attain is not because you had so much intellect, you just had opportunity. But it was their prayers that got you through what you were dealing with. There's about a third of you right now, you shouldn't even be here today. That you shouldn't be sitting in the pew where you are right now, but it was because somebody was standing in the gap praying for you. It wasn't your political power, it wasn't your money, it wasn't your connections, but it was the power of prayer that caused you to do that. The power of prayer is so very, very awesome, my brothers and sisters, because when we begin to connect with the power of prayer, it gives us an assurance that cannot come from any other earthly resource. Prayer will cause your atmosphere to shift. Prayer will cause a confidence to arise upon the inside of you. I was taken aback, and I knew that the Lord was speaking to me concerning this message. Well, the other night when I was watching at the one-year anniversary of the killing of Osama bin Laden, that they began to interview President Obama, and they was viewing the Situation Room, and they was talking about how everything led up to him giving the order to go in and to capture or kill him. And as they were giving the interview, President Obama had received intel and reconnaissance, and the troops had went through training, and he had understood what his risk scenario was of going into a country unannounced to kill somebody. And President Obama said that after they gave me all of the information, he says, I told them I need to go and pray about it. And he said that he went back that night. He didn't make a decision, but he went back and prayed about it. And the next morning, he came into the room, and he didn't need a briefing. He came into the room. He didn't need any more intel. He had a wellness in his spirit that this is what the Lord was causing us to do. And many of you know the end of that story. The mission was taken care of. The man was captured and killed, and it wasn't because of his political acumen. It was because we had a president that knew how to go before the throne room of God. And some of you know that when you have decisions to make in your life, it's one thing to have the facts about the situation, but it's another thing to talk to the Father about the situation. Because sometimes the facts will look very, very grim and dark, but when God gives you a peace in your spirit through prayer, you know that you're coming out on the winning side. Touch your neighbor right now and say, prayer power. Amen. And when we look at our world carefully upon the backdrop of God's word, we see that we can come to the conclusion that the world doesn't need another church. The world doesn't need more churches to populate us. But the world, what they need right now is more men and women in the church that are praying. See, what the church needs in this critical hour is individuals that understand the resource that they tap into when they experience God through prayer. It is said that the majority of Christians spend less than 5 minutes a day in consecrated prayer. Christians, the ones that know the Lord, the ones that experience his presence, but yet we only connect with him less than 5 minutes a day. What God is looking for in this season, Beacon Light, is a church that'll bring prayer back in style. God is looking for a church, not just a church where everybody go, because that's the end thing, but a church that'll say, our house shall be a house of prayer, says the Lord. I know I'm not going to get too many amens on this message, but I'm going to go ahead and preach anyway, because when I look through the body of Christ, my heart is troubled because we got so many people having this conference and having that conference and having conference for women and conference for men. When is somebody going to have a prayer conference? Because the conditions of our land right now, there's a prescription for it in the Bible. The prescription says, if my people who are called by my name would just humble themselves, if you'll stop thinking that you're smart enough to handle it by yourself and humble yourself and pray to God and seek his face and turn from your wicked ways, he says, then shall I hear from heaven, then shall I forgive your sins, and then I shall heal your land. We don't need economical power in the church. If we can just get some prayer power, the abundance will flow to do the Lord's work. Touch somebody and say, prayer power. Because God does nothing without prayer. And everything that you need God to do, you're going to have to partner with him in prayer to do it. Because prayer, watch this, is our divine technology that connects us when we implement God's permission to interfere in our affairs. It's a technology that when we pray, we tap into a resource that's available for us that we can't see in our natural eyes. But when you connect with it in prayer, now you're able to do something. You're able to get God to interfere in the affairs that's going on in your life with heavenly authority. Okay, y'all. The other day, Deacon Ratliff was at my house, and he was trying to play his Pandora on his phone, and he didn't have my key to my Wi-Fi at the house. Okay, and so his Pandora kept dropping. That every time he would be listening, and I just pray he was listening to gospel music, but every time he was listening to his Pandora, it kept dropping out because his connection was bad. And he said, y'all know how he talked. He said, "Say, boss, what is your the connection to your Wi-Fi?" And he gave me his phone, and I put in the passcode to the Wi-Fi at the house, and now he had another connection. It was a stronger connection now so that his music could continue to play in his iPhone. And the Lord spoke to me right there. He says, that's what happens when you connect in prayer. That when you connect in prayer, you tap into another technology that's going to stop your life from having all of these drops. That's going to stop you from having all of this buffering that's going on. Because my connection was a stronger connection than his 3G connection. And some of you living off a 3G connection when God is saying, I want to give you heavenly Wi-Fi. I want to give you ability to download some stuff from heaven so that you can emit change in your life. You got to tap in to the power that's contained in prayer. And everybody who ever did anything great from God, they had to partner with God through prayer. Abraham had to partner with God through prayer. And he became the father of the faith. Moses, the great emancipator, had to partner with God through prayer. And he became the emancipator of the nation of Israel. Hannah had to cry unto the Lord to say, Lord, I want you now to touch the dryness of my womb. And the Bible says when she partnered with the Lord in prayer, she gave birth to a male child called Samuel. See, whenever God wants to do something in your life, he's going to put you in a position where you can partner with him in prayer. The story was told about a young group of seminary students who went to this great church in London, pastored by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And as they were waiting to get in to hear this awesome man of God preach the word of the Lord, that the Bible says they were standing in line and a man came up to them and asked them, do you want to see the heating plant for this church? And they said, wow, that's a crazy question to ask. Do we want to see the heating plant of the church, how the church runs, how the church is heated? And they said, well, yeah, we want to see because this is the great cathedral and we don't know if we're ever going to be able to visit this place again. The Bible says they went, the story goes on to say that they went down into the basement. And the man opened a door in a basement. And in that basement, they had 700 people that was praying in a room. And they were situated below the church. But he closed the door back. He says, this is the heating place of this church. That this is what this is the boiler room of the church. This is what makes the church run. This is why people come from all over the world to this place because the glory is there. Because we got some people locked up in a room. And what they are doing is they are praying for God's power to be seen in the church. They are praying for God's glory to come into church. And Beacon Light, we need a boiler room in our church. We need some folks to say, I'll supplement in the name of Jesus that the glory of the Lord can be seen in our church. I'm looking for the ballers in here today. I'm looking for some of y'all. God is placing you a spirit of prayer that his glory can go forth. Because God is saying you don't just need a boiler room in the church, but you need a boiler room in your home. There need to be somebody to know how to heat that house up. And I ain't talking about with heat from the air conditioner. I'm talking about somebody know how to heat that place up in prayer. That when stuff start jumping off in the house, that somebody know how to keep that house at the right temperature. Because you're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I wish I had a witness in here today. Some of you, God has called you to be the boiler room of your family. The boiler room on that job. The boiler room in your neighborhood. And that's why you got to tap into prayer power. Touch your neighbor right now. Say prayer power, prayer power. That's it. Touch somebody else. Say, I pray God gives you praying power. Lord, give this church some praying power, Lord. Because what you have called us to do, we can't do it by being politically connected. We can't do it because we got a lot of money. We need the power of the Lord. Somebody shout out praying power. The Lord told me the other day, he said, everybody in the church has to be praying, because the Lord wants to heat this place up. He wants to do a work that he's going to get the glory. And Jeremiah said, he said, if you would just call unto me, that I'm going to answer you, and I'm going to show you some stuff that you never ever seen before. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired of church as usual. I'm tired of our city going from year to year with the same problem. Lord, show me some stuff. Give me some wisdom. Send an anointing in this place, Lord, that's going to change this city. Because I want to let you know, when the Lord sends an anointing, it ain't going to be able to be contained in this church. Oh, but this anointing going to run all down Hanson Street. The anointing going to run all down 190. The anointing going to run all down 55 and all down 12. But it has to start with somebody that's praying. Praying power. Praying power. Because when you have praying power, you have staying power. When you have praying power, there ain't going to be no fainting going on in your life. When you got praying power, there ain't going to be no weariness going on in your life. When you have praying power, you're going to be able to stand and see what the will of the Lord is for your life. And James right here, who is called to talk to this new church, and he comes to teach them about the power of faith. That's why in chapter number 1, he tells them, let faith have its perfect work in you, that you'll be complete, lacking nothing. He goes on to say, faith without works is dead. He goes on to tell them that, listen, you got to have faith that what you're going through, God is going to bring you out. And then he comes here in chapter number 5, and look what he says. He says, is any one of you in trouble? Let him pray. See what James is trying to tell them in this first verse. He's telling them, if you're writing, that there will be different seasons of prayer. That we will have to pray sometimes when you're suffering. That you can't fall out of the boiler room because you're going through trouble. He says, if there's anybody in here that's in trouble, you got to pray. See, the original use of that word trouble is in the King James verse. They use the word afflicted, which means that you are in a difficult circumstance. And he's telling the believer that there will be times in your life of affliction. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. I wish I had better news for y'all, but there's going to be some time in your life where you're going to experience some trouble. Mm-hmm. Yes, it will. And even if there is no wrong done on your part, even if you're giving your tithe and you're coming to church, you are still going to have trouble to show up in your life. Job said, the man that's born of a woman is but a few days and is filled with trouble. You're going to have to face trouble. But when you go through trouble, notice what he's saying. He says, when you go through trouble, that ain't the time to complain. I'm trying to have a church in here. When you go through trouble, that ain't the time for you to stay away from church. When you go through trouble, that ain't the time to blame God for what's going on in your life. He says when you go through trouble, that's your time to get down on your knees and say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee, no other help that I know. Touch your neighbor and say, you got to be praying, you got to be praying, you got to be praying. Watch this. He didn't tell us to grumble. He tells us you need prayer power in the time of trouble. You don't need a sabbatical. You need prayer power in the time of trouble. You don't need no counseling sometimes. You just need to have a little talk with Jesus, because a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right. Touch your neighbor and say, you got to pray during your suffering. You got to pray during your suffering. Now, let me help you out, because when you pray during your trouble, when you pray during your affliction, God may not remove the affliction. I'm trying to help somebody out, because, see, I don't want you to be a Christian that's planted in shallow ground, that just because you prayed today and God don't move by Tuesday, that you turn your back and backslide on God. No, I want you to know that sometimes he will not remove the affliction. Because sometimes the affliction is there to grow you up. I know y'all don't like that, huh? Y'all don't like this type of teaching. You want to just speak it and it happened. No, sometimes you're going to have to keep on speaking it. Paul said, 3 times I sought the Lord concerning this thorn that was in my flesh. But God told him, I ain't going to remove the thorn. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you grace to live with your affliction. Oh, sucky, sucky. And some of y'all in here today, the Lord may not remove your mountain, but he'll give you the strength enough to climb your mountain, because it's in affliction that I begin to know the Lord that I serve. I wish I had a witness in here today. David said, it was good for me that I was afflicted.